I want to make this statement. If you are when you are ignorant, rather, of your rights and privileges, you can and will be manipulated by your enemy. And you need to know that. And the one way that he manipulates you is through money. He either makes it difficult for you to get, or he gives you a number for you to hang yourself. But he's manipulating. I've been listening to Apostle Fred Price, some of his old series. And I mean the wisdom and the counsel of God. Some of the things that we're dealing with today, he talked about almost 10, 12 years ago. See, this word of what we're dealing with is already in the land. But if you're ignorant of your rights and privileges, you're going to be manipulated. Because that's the plan of the enemy. Anything you don't know, somebody can take from you. My second statement is, don't try to change the word to fit you. You must change to fit the word. Because that's another thing we see a lot in the body of Christ. People trying to make the word say something that it does not say. To fit with their narrative. And we got to stop that. So then, you know, a simple directive that was given on Wednesday night to share with you how to save money. Now, don't wait to get started. If you haven't already started, don't wait anymore. Don't wait past the day. See, that was a direction by the Holy Spirit. I know other people are doing it, but this was a direction for this church. Why? Because God wants us out of the hole this year. It's things we got to do. And we got to expect God to increase us. And this is one way you can have an expectation. But if you sit on this instruction, the future will show up and run right over you. Because the change is coming. So this morning, let's talk about the power of money. Now, there are two books, or you can say a book and a statement, that will reveal your life. One is the Bible, and second, your checkbook. They tell us your life. Either your credit card statement, or however you transact your business. If we could see your statement or your checkbook, we'll see your life. Do you know what we think money is for only? How many of y'all remember what I said on Wednesday night? What I say it was for, most people think it's for? Spending. But spending only brings the flow of money to a stop. You keep spending, money gonna stop. Because you're negating what money is for. Yes, we're going to spend some money because you got to spend money. But we spend money like it's going to fall on us, even though we're afraid to use it the way we should. See, but watch this. Money is for creativity. Let me just stick to my notes. Money is for creativity. Man, I'm going to share it with in just a minute. The power of money is the key to your whole life because it is the power God uses to measure everything. I say it again. The power of money is the key to your whole life because it is the power God uses to measure everything. What and why we use money and what we do with money and why we use it, it is major to God. Because God is a God of economics. And the more you understand that about your Heavenly Father, the better you'll be off in your own personal life. He is a God of economics. He's not just a sugar daddy. He's a God of economics. This is why we must learn to manage money, budget money, tithe it, give it, spread it around. Because these things are important to God. A scarcity mentality will keep you from investing. Not just natural stocks and bonds, but into the kingdom. See, that scarcity mind, we'll visit that in just a little while. I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say years ago that poverty is a lack of creativity. And it's true. Whenever you go amongst poor people, it's not because they don't have resources. They don't have any creativity. Here are some kingdom keys about money. I'm going to say I'm slow. We're going to get to a scripture in just a minute. Resources and money is a trust. Ooh, Jesus. Resources and money is given to us to see if we can be trusted. As parents, how many of you, when your children were little, or I know when our children were young, we used to give them an allowance. The allowance was a way of seeing if they would do right with their money. And that would tell you whether or not they got an increase. How they spent, how they utilized the money they had. They knew they had to tithe and give. But you still had to see what they were going to do with the rest of the money. Was it all going to go in bubble gum? Or were they going to save some? Because we taught all our kids to tithe and give and save. Now, as a parent, you should teach your children those principles to tithe and give and save. In my stewardship class, I taught that. You tithe, you give, and you take, if it's not but $2, you take something out of there, extract it, and save it. And then you look at your bills. Because if you don't plan your future, it's going to show up. Resources and money is a gift. Now, what are resources? Resources can be stocks or supply of money, material, staff, and other assets that can be drawn on by a person or organization in order to function effectively. So this means money is not yours, but given to you. Turn to Matthew 25. And let's look at verse 14. When you have it, say, I have it. Say, money and resources is a gift. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them whose goods? Wait a minute. Say it like you know it, like you're reading it. He delivered, he gave them whose goods? His goods. So it was his money. It was his resources. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man, say every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, I used to read that, and I used to wonder, what according to his several ability? That means his ability to steward. They were issued money according to their ability to steward. So that means he had to have looked into their life over time and predetermined how much each one was going to get based on their ability to manage money. Now, each one of them was given something to work with. And unto the one, look at verse 15, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. So he didn't give them no designated set of instructions. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's, his who? So the money didn't belong to him. He knew when the Lord gave him the money, it wasn't his. So there was an expectation, say expectation. between the Lord and the servant. Something was supposed to have happened in all three cases. So he that, verse 20, had that received five talents came and brought other five, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now we're gonna find out why a lot of people don't have joy. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said the same thing unto him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now this is a money situation. Just like I shared with you on Wednesday night. These are investors. These are just not servants that work and clean the house. These are investors. So don't be fooled by the term servant. They were investors. And the master, the owner was coming to them and saying, they already, if you got the job, you're supposed to understand what your job description is. You born again, you're supposed to understand what is expected of a born again person. Oh, child, okay. So this means to look at, and then look at number 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. Afraid of what? And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, why wouldn't the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? The Lord said in verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I am not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, because you knew I was coming, I should have received my own with usury. There take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For everyone that have shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So resources and money is a gift. This means it's not yours, but given to you. The owner gave them the talents. They didn't have them, nor did they own them. So it didn't originate with them. Most people's mindset is that they work for money. So we see here a situation. I'm coming back to it. We read it. We're coming back to it. Most people's mindset, even in the body of Christ, is that they work for money. In the kingdom, you don't work for money. You work for purpose. This is where we get it wrong. Because we're pursuing money. No, you don't work for money. You work for purpose. And your purpose, when you attend to your purpose will attract money. Ooh, Jesus. Never chase the money. It was never about the money. Even in Matthew 25, where we just read, it wasn't about the money. God was not even angry. The master was not angry because he didn't use the money. He was really angry because of something else that I'm going to show you. He said, now you could have put the money in the bank and got some interest on it. And it sounded like the master was mad because he didn't double the money. But that's not why he was angry. The quantity of resources you receive is determined by your ability to steward. So you should not pray beyond your ability to manage money. Because you'll never get that prayer answered. You ought to look at your ability to manage money. and determine how you pray. And as long as you stay the way you are, that's where you're going to stay financially. It's each servant was given according to their ability to manage money. And the one with the one, apparently he was not as strong in managing money as the other two. Okay. So can't you see how important it is that we educate ourselves in the realm of money and finances? So let your ability determine your prayer. Okay, listen. Let's say it this way. The better you become at managing money, the more you can request from God. You believe God for $1 million, but you can't steward 500 yet effectively. The church, the governing body of the kingdom in the earth, has got to lose this welfare mentality, waiting for someone to hand us something that we can't steward if we got it. We've been waiting for God to drop a bag of money in our lap for how many years? He said, if I gave it to you today, you can't steward it. Because you're still grumbling and complaining about what you got right now. When you and I learn the skills of managing money, we will attract money to us. The world has been using this principle and beating us at it. They take Bible principles and become rich. Listen, I am not just talking about you being able to write down your bills on a piece of paper and pay them. I'm talking about having plans that require money that your job can't facilitate. See, that's the kind of money God wants to put in your hand. Resources determine your creativity. We're coming back to Matthew 25 in just a little bit. As a child, did you ever dream of having or doing something but money wasn't present to facilitate? You had a creative idea. Because I remember my children was always telling us something they wanted to be this and have that and do that. And we never limited them in the way they created. You would stop dreaming. Watch this. I skipped some of my notes. And money wasn't present to facilitate it. The creative idea you had. See, there was a creative idea you had. You said, I want to be a fireman. That was a creative idea you had. I want to be this and I want to be that. But money wasn't present for you to even get the toy fire truck. So guess what you did? And if your family stayed broke long enough, you'll stop dreaming. You'll stop being creative. You will lose your ability to be creative. And you are settled and become broke. Because your richness is in your creativity. And you're waiting for God to give you some money, but you got to be use your creativity. That would attract money. Because it ain't coming no other way. When money is not an issue, creativity will flow. We stifle our children by always telling them we can't afford that. Why don't you turn that into a faith project? Teach your children to explore their creativity. Stop laughing at them when they say, oh, that's just so silly. Let them explore their creativity. You don't know what'll come out of that. The next scientist might come out of that. Ooh. Now, stay right now. We're back at Matthew 25. Look at verse 14 again. Now, look at the latter part of the scripture. And he delivered unto them his good. He called his own servants. So these were employees of his. When you see the word servant there, it's not talking about a person, what you think is a servant. It's not somebody that's working in somebody's house or hired to do something. No, this is an employee. When you go to any broker, he becomes your employee. You hired him to do a job for you. Never forget that. Don't let him manipulate your money when you're going to an investor. You hired him to do what you want him to do. He's your employee. That's why he called him that servant. Because he had hired them to invest. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to use this as an example. I give my son $1 million. And then I say, I will be back in 1 year. Then I leave. Now listen, it's my money. He has all my resources at his disposal. Get ready to go. It's going to hit you in your gully, as my daddy used to say. This means that I, as his parent, must know that he has the capability, the creativity, the dream, the skills to do what I left him to do while I'm gone. So he is not without resource, because the resources are in him. Jesus. And I have given him money to facilitate it. Ooh. The money was not given so he could just spend it on himself. The money has purpose. And only the fulfillment of the purpose will make me happy. When I come back in a year, I'm not looking for him to hand me back another $1 million. I want to know, what did you create? Because you are a creator. You were designed to create. That's when you're most happy. When you are creating. The guy with the five, the owner didn't tell him how to turn it into 10. The guy with the two, he didn't tell him how to turn it into 4, which means the guy with five and the guy with two were creative. What did they do different than the guy with the one? They tapped what was already in them and turn it into something that could be marketed. We got to get out of this dream world we're living in, that the money just going to come because we tithe and give, that it's just going to float into our hands. No, you got to get into the marketplace. Create something that would attract money. Create something that somebody else can buy. You got to get a world a chase for the money. You got to get out there and make them wish they had thought up what you're doing. Even though they might be doing something similar, yours is anointed and backed by all of heaven. Woo. Seeing each of us is a seed to our financial deliverance. We must tap into our creativity by the Holy Spirit. So that means we must be willing to take time to pray. And here, look at Romans 8:26. Anybody learning besides me? Because I'm going to push y'all this year. And if you get tired of me talking about this, you just got to keep right on listening, because I'm going to teach it until the Lord said do something different. Because he's trying to push us to another level. I had a man from another radio station leave me a message. Somehow they got a hold of our let me on the radio. And he said, we want your services on our radio station. Please call me back. It's getting out there. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call him back tomorrow. And we can negotiate. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we got a condition here. That's why you should pray in the Holy Ghost, because when it's time for to draw out your creativity, the Holy Spirit knows what's already in you. And you may not know what to ask for. You might know what somebody suggested, but that may not be what God wanted to make you rich with. Ooh, Jesus. It might be something so simple that you overlook it. So the Holy Spirit got to reveal it to you. He says, but the Spirit himself make an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth, said knoweth. What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. So the will of God is already in you. You got to draw it out. Now, laziness is a lack of creativity because you refuse to use what has already been put or given to you. You won't even use what's been given to you to draw wealth to you. See, this is why the owner was mad with the guy with the one. Because, I'm going to stick to my notes. Wickedness is defined as not using your brain. Remember this saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Lazy people refuse to use their minds to be creative and productive. This is why we got so much violence. Because you got lazy people who refuse to be creative and productive. You have no choice but to be crazy. Our society has really helped to keep us from thinking. Just let me think for you, they say. Why? So they can continue to control your wealth. Because the less you think, the more I'm going to manipulate your money. I'm going to give you a plan to retire in 30 years. And when you retire, you're going to have just enough by the skin of your chinny chin chin to live on. And we accept that in our society, even in the body of Christ. We accept that as the will of God, and it's not. It is not God's way of making us wealthy. This year, I am digging deeper inside of myself, and I will be more creative, more productive than ever, because there are some things in me that's got to come out. If we don't develop our minds about money correctly, instead of walking into financial freedom, you will go into extreme poverty. And you look just like a third world nation with all that creativity in you. Remember, poverty is because of a lack of creativity. I can remember when my daughter Kim was young and she kept asking me for this kitchen set. And I didn't have Casey at that moment, at that time. I didn't have the money at that time to buy her a kitchen set, but I had creativity. Let me show you how easy it is to be creative. So I went to the grocery store, and I got three big boxes, and I constructed a house with windows and curtains, a stove and a refrigerator. We had so much fun making it. She was glad I didn't buy one because it was created, and it brought more pleasure. Why? It was coming up out of me. That's when your most happen, when you are creative. Ooh. Now, things changed as we grew in money management. So by the time Tremaine and Casey came along, we were able to buy them a prefab one. But we taught them, they had just as much fun as that because they was upgraded. You know, they had the little turning faucet. It had, you know, you could put a little water in it and it had a little spout. The water would come up that you could actually turn the heat on. The iron heated up. So they had a whole little kitchen set. But nonetheless, creativity brought it to pass. So I don't care if you are 96, 9, 13, or any age between. You are not too old or too young to start something today. You got kids as young as 6 on YouTube with a business. Somebody taught them something about money. Don't let our children grow up not understanding money. We must learn to control the growth of our lives and not just let things happen. Get up and use your brain. Resources demand your own, say my own, creativity. Own here's O-W-N, means that to that the two produce took the, wait a minute, what I wrote? I'm trying to read my own writing, y'all hold up. Resources demand your own creativity. Own here means that to produce that took the money, okay, that the two that produced, talking about in Matthew 25, that's what it is, took the money and sat down and asked God something. They said, give me a revelation of the gift, the skill, the talent you have put in me. Trust me with it. Help me to grow and then multiply it. See, that's what we've been commanded in Genesis 1 and 26. We've been commanded to be creative. Have creativity. I see money. Now, this is the way the Lord was talking to me, and I'm going to read it. I see money as a trust. This is the way I was praying, actually. I want you, Lord, to trust me with your resources. I realize it's a gift that you gave to me. I didn't buy it. Therefore, I will not complain about the gift you've given me. But I will willingly discover it so you can be glorified in it through me. I accept the kingdom way with money. I am not working for money. Money is a tool and a servant to me. I will not allow it to control me, but I will give money purpose. I refuse to hoard money, but I will invest wisely into the kingdom. Ooh. Now that's what I was saying to the Lord as I was writing my notes. Hoarding is heaping it up, but never using it. You ever seen that show called Hoarders? They got more stuff in there. Some of the stuff, the package has never been opened, but they never use it. See, that's hoarding. You got people that worry about money. So as you start your saving program, don't fail to give it purpose. When you are a hoarder, you are bound by the money. You have a hard time using it. Savings is not hoarding. As a good steward, saving is part of management. But you are saving for a purpose. You're not saving. See, we're not supposed to save just for ourselves. You need to hear that deeper than what I'm saying. You're not supposed to save just for you. We're supposed to plan for the next two generations. Because it's not about you. Ooh, Jesus. Look at Matthew 6, 19. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just ready. I'm ready because I know God got some great things for this church. But we got to get all these little things like this straightened out. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus didn't say here to not save money. He says, but don't make your savings just about you. Because then you become a hoarder. So save so you will have money to give freely and effectively, according to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13. If you give sparingly, how are you going to get a return? Sparingly. In order to be a bountiful giver, you must have resources. Look at Luke 12 before I move this right from this point. Luke 12, let me make sure that I want to capitalize on that. Look at verse 16. See, this is a prime example of a hoarder. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, and he got money, he got plenty. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will tear down all my barns that I already have and build bigger ones. I'm paraphrasing it. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you got a whole lot of stuff laid up for many years. You ain't got to think no more. You don't have to be creative anymore. Going to be lazy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, what's going to be required of him? His soul, not his money, his soul. Then who shall all shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, but is not rich towards God. That's an imbalance, see. You got a lot of money, but you're not rich towards God because you're a hoarder, because God's not using your money. You're afraid to let God use your money. I'm encouraging you right now, if you got $20, open a giving account. And now all of a sudden you start participating in kingdom culture. The whole kingdom is about giving. Now God has to give you something to give. Because according to 2 Corinthians 9, let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So you gotta line your stuff up with the will of God. 2 Corinthians 9, let's look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has done what? Purpose in his what? His heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity. That means don't let nobody coerce you into giving something you don't really want to give. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, say always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So when we open up, I said that we must learn to manage money. We must learn to budget it. We must learn to tithe it, give it, and spread it around. Because money is so much part of that heavenly economy. You got to learn how to participate with God. So I'm encouraging you to open a giving account. Now listen. So God can give you something to put in it. Many of you listening online by radio or here even in this sanctuary would love to help someone else, but you can't. You don't have no money. You know why? Because you never planned to give. Ouch. You said, but I do tithe and give. No, you didn't. You didn't plan to give. You didn't plan to help anybody else. Now, you giving in the church. Don't get me wrong. And that works. Don't get me wrong. Please hear me. But you are not planning to help somebody else. And that's the giving account God wants to participate in. Ooh. We try to help people off the cuff. And it always put a dent or make us give less than what we might could do because we're not planning. to have those resources. So God can give you extra to help somebody. There is no account to facilitate it. Dr. Davis and I started giving account years ago. Nothing goes through that but giving. And it's, look, we've emptied it out so many times and God filled it back up. Because that's his assignment unto us. If he's telling me to take the money and sow it into a ministry or sow it into a person, then he got a responsibility to put it back. If he want me to keep sowing. In the meantime, in my sowing, he's always giving us an overflow. Say overflow. So therefore, in the overflow, there's always provision for me. Oh, Jesus. But you must have a giving account that God can participate in. So remove your giving from your bills and watch God not only help to fill the giving account, but the overflow will provide bread or resources for your day-to-day living. Man. We've been trying to do it backwards. We've been trying to get God to get in our bills. He said, I'll give you the overflow when you start giving. Woo. All right. Next point. Resources and money have been given to be multiplied by investing into the kingdom. And why do I need to invest in the kingdom? Because I got to eradicate human suffering. We got to teach others how to come out of poverty. We got to open retail stores. We got to open supermarkets, start in schools, teach a trade, become a mentor. It requires money. But the body of Christ has been designed to do that. The governing body called the church in the earth, according to kingdom culture, you're supposed to be doing that. And where we have missed it, we have just wanted to come to church and hear a sermon and not participate in the community. We got to bring deliverance, healing, and freedom to those that are bound and oppressed. You're not going to do that in this building. It's got to happen in your community. So now look at what happened to the guy with the one talent. God told him, you didn't even try. This is why God was angry with him. You didn't even try. You made no effort to increase. You just let time go by, not really believing that I was coming back. Because if you really knew that I was coming back and was expecting that I was looking for an increase, you would have put my money at least into the worldly bank and drawn some interest. Because $1 million, you can get quite a bit of good interest on $1 million. He says, but you didn't even try. You didn't even try to help anybody with the money. You were self-absorbed, or you were selfish. You put my money in a shoebox, a hat box, under the mattress, in a can, where it could not become more and grow. You wicked, evil, twisted, and lazy servant. Take my money from him and give it to the one with 10. And then cast this unprofitable, non-beneficial, or unuseful, producing no gain servant into hell. What you call out of darkness? See, that scripture said out of darkness. That doesn't mean he's not just dying physically. He's got to be removed from the presence of God. That's death. This is about our life. Because there's an expectation of Jesus when he returns that we have produced something that would attract money and people to the kingdom. You say, I'm too old to start something. No, you're not. You might be lazy, but you ain't too old. You ain't too old to eat. God might give you an idea to show you how to eat fast or something. Dig in there and find out what you can do instead of sitting in that chair and rocking, waiting to die. It's not a pretty sight. See, this lack of productivity was deliberate. He never intended to obey the master, that guy with the one. He said he was afraid. Afraid of what? He was afraid to make his master richer than he was. He had a problem with his master's wealth. Did you learn anything this morning?